Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on the scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein. Pleased to be joined by Michigan head coach Mike Boynton. And Mike, welcome. How would you describe the last month?
Easy peasy. Probably the easiest 30 to 45 days of my life. Obviously, I kid. It's been a mix of a little bit of everything. It's been obviously a great challenge to not only take over kind of overnight, if you will, and then all the things that come with that, keeping the roster together, hiring a staff, getting to a point where you can have workouts with your team. We've got this trip to Europe coming up in about 2.5 weeks that we need to prepare for.
Yeah.
And then obviously looking forward, trying to figure out the schedule and all the things that it takes to continue to be a successful program in the Big Ten.
Mike, what was that first meeting like with Michigan's administration when the news had come out that Dusty May was leaving to be the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks?
With the administration?
Yeah.
The first meeting actually was fair because I think it was sort of like it was so fresh and new. There wasn't really a whole lot of preparation for what the immediate steps would be. So I was simply asked at that moment to just – help buy some time for the department and figure out exactly what we needed to do. Most importantly for me was getting these players on this team who had all arrived on campus already, for the most part, to understand that they still had a great opportunity in front of them. And that if they decided to stay together, that they still could to be a really, really good basketball team that can compete at the highest level of the Big Ten and nationally.
Mike, when you look at what happened between that meeting and then signing a 2-year contract to be the head coach at Michigan, what was the time in between those two things like?
Wow. Now you're talking. That was, it was sort of overwhelming, especially the first, 72 hours or so. I saw you during that time at the New York Athletic Club for the dinner. There was a lot of phone calls and conversations with the players, their parents and relatives, their representatives, because, they all have agents now. And obviously they all wanted to know what the vision would be and whether things were going to change substantially based off of me now being in charge. I felt very confident that if we were able to keep the team together, we'd be able to fill the gaps from a staff standpoint, that we would be able to also play very similarly to how we've played the last 2 years. The roster had pretty much already been built to play a style. And if everybody stayed, we'd still be able to do those things. So it was hard just because the volume of phone calls and time spent communicating with everybody on a daily basis was great. And I'm thankful to my wife that she's still with me after this time. and my kids that they've given me some grace that I've stepped away from a lot of family dinners in the last month. Yeah. But things are starting to normalize here. We've got a contract. We've got, for the most part, our staff, and even more importantly, we've got our team.
Well, I know that in that contract, there's a lot of things that are incentive-based to extend the contract beyond the two-year term. With so many incentives, how do you yourself remain process-driven throughout, obviously, the upcoming season?
Well, the one thing, I've always been pretty much just a kind of a taskmaster, if you will. I focus on the thing that I've got to do in front of me. And the truth is, we're all in situations where we have to perform well in our jobs to keep them. And so I don't really overthink it. I really try to approach this as we want to try to put this team in best position it can to win as many games as possible. And if you do that, then the rest takes care of itself. How it looks, you know, how it feels. The most important thing is that Elliot Cadeau and Trey McKinney still feel like great leaders of this program, that they play like they're one of the best backcourts in the country next year. Yep. JP Estrella and Mustafa Chaim play like they're both proven college basketball commodities on the front court. And then we have a couple of young guys and some guys who maybe haven't played as much ready to step up. We think that our player development program over the last 2 years with guys like Oscar Goodman and Ricky Liebert have now going to put themselves in position to be contributors to Michigan. And then we got a really good freshman class, you know, headlined by a couple of McDonald's All-Americans, and we expect those guys to contribute as well. So we've got a pretty good roster still. And so while I focus on the results, when I need to focus on the process every day and allow the results to take care of themselves.
What is the biggest difference in Mike Boynton as a coach right now versus when you coached your last game at Oklahoma State?
Several things. Obviously, I've sat right next to one of the elite basketball coaches in our game at any level for 2 years and just watched how he processed things, not only in games, but in practices. I've sat in meetings with him, and I've worked with several guys who are still on his staff to do the things that we've done well. And so I feel much more prepared to take over a program in this position than I was in 2017 when I was, you know, getting ready to coach my first game at Oklahoma State as opposed to my last. Obviously, I feel like our program is in a much healthier place in terms of where our roster is. And I feel like we've assembled a staff that can keep Michigan fans' expectations high and give us a chance to, like I said, continue to compete for, you know, the upper echelon of the Big Ten, which is going to be really, really tough again, and then potentially making another run in the NCAA tournament.
What are the biggest things specifically that you think you'll implement from Dusty May to obviously add to your own coaching template?
Yeah, I'll be honest. The thing that I feel like I learned the most that I probably wasn't quite as good at the first time around is delegation and hiring a staff that you feel very confident in to allow them to be great in their jobs. You know, hiring a guy like Mike Martin from Brown, who's been a head coach for 14 years, is going to give me great confidence when I have to step away from our team that practices are still going to be able to run at a high level. Mm-hmm. Just announced the hire of Dylan Murphy, who's the head coach of the Osceola Magic for the last 3 years. He's got a tremendous acumen for offense. He's probably going to end up working a lot with our offense and with Coach Martin on that side of the ball. And then the guys who've returned, Akeem Miskadine, Kyle Church, KT Harrell, those guys know what we do and how the program functions. So blending some new with some continuity is, you know, gives me great confidence that I can delegate a lot better than I did the first time around, and be confident that we can, you know, find the results the same way we did the last couple of years.
And you need a great and experienced staff to deal with the climate that we're in right now in college sports. For you personally, what is it like to be a head coach in this climate?
You know what? I don't really think about the climate. It's evolution. Like it's things change over time. You know, there's been a lot made about the NCAA tournament expanding. It has. It probably will again at some point. But it also wasn't always 64 teams, right? I mean, there was a time where it was 40, and there was a time where, you know, maybe even before that, we were just playing a couple of games to determine a national champion. So the things that I don't necessarily control, I try not to fixate over. I've got a job every day to show up to this office with a great attitude, have a good plan with our staff to make our players better. And then when it's time to go out and compete, put our guys in the best position to come out on the right end of the stick.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
You referenced Elliot Cadeau and Trey McKinney earlier, who again are, you know, on track right now to be one of the best backcourts in college basketball, if not the best backcourt in college basketball next season. How will things change for them when they don't have players like Adai Mara, Yaxel Lendeborg, and Merez Johnson to play off of in the front court?
Yes, it's conversations that we've had with the two of them already, you know, and credit to both of them. They both made sacrifices for last year's team to give ourselves a chance to cut down the nets on April 6th in Indianapolis. But Elliot Cadeau's handprints were all over the NBA draft on June 22nd. You know, he made the lives of those guys a lot easier. And Trey McKinney accepting the role as a starting caliber player coming off the bench the whole season. And so there'll be a lot more attention on those guys creating more offense, not only for their teammates, but for themselves. But I do feel very confident that our front court is still going to be very productive.
And Trey McKinney is going to be the breakout guy that everybody has in bold print nationally this year with expanded minutes and an amplified role. How big of a jump, Mike, do you think he can make as a sophomore?
Well, to me, it's about efficiency, right? Because now he's also going to be a guy that's on the other team scout reports in a more significant manner, right? It was probably a little bit easier as a guy who flew under the radar and most of the time was probably viewed as our third or fourth option on the court. And now he's going to be probably viewed as maybe option one or two on the court. And so the way the defenses that he sees will be a lot different. So I really want him to focus on taking good shots and making the right plays as often as possible. and allowing his teammates to create leverage for him because of the things that he can do without scoring the basketball, which is making really good reads and pick and roll, you know, playing off the ball and being a good screener. And the thing that I want him to take another step in is defensively. I think he can be really, really aggressive and a good rebounder for his position.
Which other returnees do you think will make a substantial jump for Michigan?
I referenced, you know, both Oscar Goodman and Ricky Liebert. They both have basically redshirted since they've been here. Oscar played a little bit last year, but obviously he was kind of caught in a numbers game on the front line that was here last year. Both those guys have made great strides in the weight room, on the court. They know our system. And so they got a little bit of an advantage even over some of the younger guys coming in because they've been around. They know what practices look like. They know how Michigan basketball prepares for games. And so I expect both of them to have significant roles on this team.
The newcomers who you talked about up front, J.P. Estrella from Tennessee, Mustafa Chom from Cincinnati, they fall in line with your theory and really your method for bringing in guys, because one of the things you guys always talked about as a staff at Michigan the last 2 years was you wanted to identify guys who maybe hadn't reached their peak yet in college basketball and then develop them. What other elements from Estrella and Chom do you think we could see unlocked in 26-27 that maybe they didn't show prior?
Yeah, JP, I'll attack first. He's basically been a full-time five-man, a lot in the way that Morez Johnson was before he got here last year. Mm-hmm. And he's going to expand to be in more decision-making positions with us. Now, he's going to be out there with an elite point guard, so it's not like he's going to be a decision-maker, you know, 75% of the game. But he's going to play more in DHOs and more on the perimeter. I've watched him shoot the basketball a lot over the last month or so. He's got a very nice shooting touch. Obviously, his bread and butter is still as a great rebounder and force on the interior. Mm-hmm. He's an elite communicator defensively, but I definitely expect him to be playing on the perimeter a lot more. Mustafa, who's shown his ability to play on the perimeter, just needs to find a little bit better of a shot diet, a more consistent, you know, rim presence offensively. He's got an elite rim presence defensively already, but he's another guy who can handle the ball and pass it very, very well. And so people have asked, are you going to play them exactly the way you played in Morez and Adai? They're not exactly the same in terms of skill set. Like Mustafa isn't Adai and JP isn't Morez. However, we do believe that they will be able to complement each other well enough that we'll be able to play a similar style of basketball that we have the last couple of years and last year in particular.
Well, they're two of the newcomers that are going to be focal points for Michigan up front because of what you lost. But you also bring in one of the top freshmen in the country in Brandon McCoy. How do you see him blending with the backcourt, obviously, that had a big role en route to the national title with Cadeau and McKinney?
Yeah, Brandon's different. And we talked about this when recruiting him. He's probably different than anybody we've coached at Michigan in the last 2 years. The combination of size, skill, and athleticism, he's a relentless defender. I think he's, honestly, it's hard for me to say this about a freshman. He has a chance to be one of the best perimeter defenders in the country from day one. He's strong. He's got great feet and anticipation. He's got great understanding of how offenses are playing. He's elite in transition. And so he's certainly somebody that I'd be surprised if he doesn't have a huge impact on our team from day one. He's already impacting our practices in a way that, you know, even exceeds what we thought. I mean, we thought he was good, and I'll be honest, he's probably better than we thought when we recruited him because he can really pass the basketball much better than maybe I've seen before. And I certainly expect him to make, you know, significant contributions to our backcourt this year.
Mike, do you feel any different as a coach because you were part of a staff that won the national championship?
I don't know if I've really honestly had time to even think about that, John. You know, we got into the portal and then we kind of got into recruiting and then the job change happened, right? So all of this happened so fast. I'm not really sure, other than it was a big banner outside our building that says 2026 national champions. And I've got a placard up on my wall in the office. I think our rings just showed up today. So there's some small things here and there that remind you, but I haven't had a whole lot of time to digest it. At some point I will.
Well, when you have time, I'm curious, and you toast to that team, that special team that won the national championship, what's your drink of choice going to be?
I'm a pretty simple guy. It's probably going to be some Ace of Spades.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm curious how much of that too you're going to drink when you look at your non-conference schedule. Because in looking what you guys have again in November and December, it's absolutely loaded. You got UConn in Boston, which is a road game. You're at Villanova. You've added a game against Louisville in Detroit. You've got an improved Marquette team at home. And you have the players era on top of 20 games in the Big Ten.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Last year, you obviously, you know, ripped through your non-conference schedule like a chainsaw through butter. But this, again, is as daunting as we've seen really in a long time. Your thoughts on what you will encounter in November and December?
Well, one of the things, obviously, I want everybody to understand is we don't expect to drop the expectations of where Michigan basketball is right now. We feel like we've got a lot of momentum. We want to be on those big stages against great competition. And our schedule sets us up to improve. You get better playing these games. And I remember last year thinking it was daunting. I didn't know it would be the number one schedule in the country. It ended up being the number one schedule in the country, and which makes the team's performance against said schedule even that much more impressive. And so this year we've challenged ourselves again. The non-conference is supposed to give you a chance to put yourself in position to play well in conference play. And then that gives you a chance on Selection Sunday to be on the best seed line possible, which gives you a chance to advance in the event. So we're excited about it. It's going to be a great challenge. Right now we're focused on trying to get better at 11:45 in practice.
Well, that's obviously well said by a head coach who's been a head coach before. And I'm curious, Mike, you know, in all my years doing this, coaches always hold on to their tough losses more than they appreciate their great wins. So I'm curious, for Mike Boynton, give me one great win that, you know, usurps the rest in your career, and give me one tough loss that always seems to resonate.
Wow. So I'll start with the loss. Those are always easier to find. But we lost a game to TCU. I think it was my second, maybe third year. And the reason it stands out is because it's the only time I've lost a game twice. So we take a lead with like 12 seconds to go. And then TCU basically hits a shot at the buzzer to win.
Right.
I think we lost by one or two. So we go back to locker room, everybody's sad. And then I'll never forget, Keith Kimball comes back to our locker room and says, hey, there's time left. You guys got to come back out. We're in the locker room. We've already shaken hands.
Yeah.
We come back out and he says, there's 0.2 seconds on the clock.
Oh, wow.
And so obviously, you know, for whatever reason, you got to play out the actual time, but there's no time to get a shot. And so then we lost the game again and we had to go back through the handshake line and go back to the locker room. So that one stings a little bit because it happened twice. I'm glad it didn't go on my record as two losses. A win, it's hard to beat when you're the Oklahoma State head coach. The Bedlam wins are always big. Mm-hmm. My first road win ever as a head coach was on February 3rd, 2018 in Allen Fieldhouse.
Tough to beat.
That one's going to be hard to beat.
Tough to beat. Now, give me one recruit that you desperately wanted to secure a commitment from but came up short.
Man, there's a few of them, but I would always probably I'd probably point to Tyrese Maxey. I recruited him very, very hard for a few years. Still know him, love him. Then that would probably be the one I'd say got away. Him or Anthony Black.
Mike, you made Not Raise famous for your passion for that pizza place in Brooklyn. You always spoke highly of the chili cheese fries at Eskimo Joe's. What is your go-to food spot in Ann Arbor right now?
Wow. There's a wonderful young lady who owns probably the three best restaurants in town. Her name is Sava. She has a restaurant called Sava's, but she also has a tapas place that has unbelievable paella called Aventura. And she owns a family-style restaurant called the Dixborough Project. So those are three elite ones. I know Zingerman's is here, and it gets a lot of pub, but those three are very, very high level.
All right, that's a good pop for Ann Arbor if we're passing through in the fall. But, Mike, when you ever get a chance to take a step back, and I know it's really hard with all the tasks you've endured in the last 4 to 5 weeks, but – Does this feel like a movie right now? Like your wife is from Michigan. The Detroit Pistons are now led by Cade Cunningham, who you coached, and you're taking over at Michigan coming off a national championship.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a man of faith. And so I believe like things don't necessarily just happen. I've been very, very fortunate. I've treated people the right way. It's always been really important to me. I've always tried to work as hard as I can. I've tried to be very positive, even in the midst of things maybe not always happening the way I hoped they would. And so I'm thankful. I pray every day that I continue to have this opportunity. I pray to the players that I have will continue to be healthy and that the staff that we have is capable of doing the job, because it's a great place to be, and I'm excited about the opportunity in front of me.
If your life was a movie, who would play Mike Boynton?
Wow. Oh, man, that's a good one. Denzel's hard to beat because he can play so many different roles. So I'll probably just stick with Denzel. Pretty easy.
Fair enough. And I know, as you've said here multiple times, that you don't want the standard of the program to drop at all after what you guys lost from an all-time great team last year. But with the Final Four being in Detroit in 2027, is there even more of a sense that, you know, there is a need to have a great team, because you know the biggest weekend on the college basketball calendar is going to be down the road in Detroit?
Yeah, it's a part of our thought process. You know, our team talks about it. We're pretty open about wanting to get there. And obviously, we had a tremendous showing from Michigan fans in Indianapolis at the Final Four. And that's where Michigan fans show up everywhere. They showed up in L.A. when we played the two California schools a couple of years ago. They show up everywhere we go. And there will be nothing sweeter than for the locals to be able to just jump in their car on Saturday and see the Michigan Wolverines playing in the Final Four in Detroit. And so I'm excited about the opportunity ahead of us to do that.
And what are the biggest keys to making that happen here in 27?
You know, obviously staying healthy is obviously always number one. If you stay healthy, you give yourself a chance. Not having guys miss time for injury or illness is a significant part of teams, you know, maybe being one game better or one game worse. And then in a one game elimination type event, you want to have, I think about Iowa State, I think about Houston the last couple of years losing significant players when they both were probably capable of winning it all. And so you got to stay healthy, but at the same time, you got to have guys who are committed to that, to the task. The beauty of our team last year is that Yaxel Lindenborg, a first team consensus All-American, only averaged 14 points a game.
Right.
And Roddy Gale and Will Cheddar and Amari Burnett as seniors took significantly secondary roles, I would say, those big three in order for our team to win. I was looking through Will Cheddar's game log, and I did most of the substitutions last year, and I felt bad. This dude's playing in Australia and averaging like 30 points, and there are several games where he played single-digit minutes in the Big Ten last year. And so having a team that is willing to sacrifice their own personal ambitions for the greater good of the team's ultimate goal is obviously the second most important thing to being healthy.
Well, Mike, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Congratulations on the job. I've known you for a long time. Very happy for your success. Appreciate a couple minutes. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
Thanks a lot, John. Have a good one.
You got it. That's Michigan head coach Mike Boynton. I'm John Rothstein. And this is Inside College Basketball Now.